Clear the screen, shift the scene. You're the writer of this dream. Let go of fear, let go of doubt. Stop playing the version that pulls you out. Clear the screen, clear the noise. Choose again, you've got the choice. The story changes when you see. Anxiety came to set you free.
Welcome back to another episode of the Clear the Screen podcast. I am Melissa Dealey.
And I am Billy Adme, and we are so excited for today's episode with lovely Sandy Austin.
Yes, and we would love to welcome you to the show, Sandy, and introduce you to the audience. Sandy Austin is a recognized expert in helping kids cope with trauma, bullying, suicides, and the aftermath of school shootings. As a school counselor for 24 years, Sandy has counseled students in the aftermath of 4 school shootings plus multiple suicides. 20 years ago, Sandy started a club called the Bionic Team, which is the acronym for Believe It or Not, I Care, which empowers students in schools worldwide, kindergarten through college, to reach out to struggling peers to let them know they are seen, they matter, and they are not alone. Bionic is now a nonprofit of which Sandy is the executive director. She is an international speaker, has written 3 books, was an American School Counselor Association School Counselor of the Year finalist, and has won 2 Lifetime Achievements Awards. She is a recognized leader serving as president of 3 state school counseling associations in Colorado and ASCA's crisis facilitator. So yes, welcome to the show, Sandy, and thank you for the wonderful work you are doing in the world. It's so needed in this day and age. And there's always a story before the story that I just shared. And so I would love for you to share your hero's journey, i.e. the hardship that you went through to overcoming it, and then now being able to do the work that you do in the world.
Melissa and Billy, thank you too so much. I've heard so many great things about your podcast and what you guys do. So thank you. It's a privilege to be with you and your listeners today. There you go. So I grew up and I was abused. I had a situation where it was a very, very difficult, and it was to the point to where I became silent in a lot of ways. I was so quiet that my pastor nicknamed me Smiley because I would just smile and hide behind my mom's leg. But when growing up, I just loved people. I was the youngest of 4 kids. And somehow my mom's love, and I'm a person of faith, and all that just really played a role in even being so shy. By the time I was in high school, something happened there where I just broke out into a little bit more confidence and that type of thing, to where I ran for student body vice president of my high school, and I got it. And so it was amazing. It's so fun to see what has happened. But it's the love of my mom and my faith that in my sisters and brothers and sister and brothers, and just learning. And I just grew up and I really had a heart for people as I was growing up. And so I would always be looking for different ways of making a difference. And the greatest role model was my mom. She was incredible. She was always reaching out. We didn't have a lot, but my mom was always reaching out, and she was just such a caring person. As she was getting older, I mean, what she did is when she would hear the people going through her condo complex with the vacuums cleaning the hallways, she would go and get some cookies or banana bread or something from her freezer or on the counter and say, hey, and she would give something to them. I just saw that. She was just making people's days. She would be sitting in her recliner and people would walk by, and it was to where they were from about the chest up. And they would look in to see if my mom was there. And if they'd see her, they would wave at her. And I mean, it was just incredible. She was just such an outgoing person. And so I really learned and really saw that I want to make a difference. And so I knew when I was in first grade that I wanted to be a teacher, because I had a great teacher. And I'll tell you this, I don't want to get too far off on this, but we came from really good athletes. We had really good athletes in my family. And I was gifted and I was spoiled, and I know that. And what happened is, in first grade, we had this ropes course, and I was one of the best ones there. And I thought, and we would climb up and touch the ceiling, or we would sit there and swing on the ropes. And I thought, but there was always a line. And I thought, if I could be a PE teacher, we call it physical education teacher here in the States. If I could be a PE teacher, I could stay after school and swing on the ropes as long as I wanted to. I wouldn't have to wait for in line. I became a PE teacher for 10 years. None of my schools that I was at had ropes. So, but anyway, but then after that, I had to have a total hip replacement, so I couldn't do PE anymore. But let me say this. As I said, I grew up really caring about people and really seeing the difference I could make. And I noticed when I was in the PE classes that they'd have us all line up against the wall and people would pick teams. And I was always one of the first pick because I was a good athlete. And so they'd say, I want her. I don't want him. And I thought, that was mean. I thought, I don't like that. And then I noticed some kids wouldn't want to change out into the PE uniform. And either they were heavy or, what I found out later with my training, some of them may have been abused. And they didn't want other kids to see their bruises. And so as I became a PE teacher, I saw that. And those were the kids I highlighted in my classes. I wanted them to have a positive experience and to want to come to PE. And so I did different things there to make them really, to highlight them and make and encourage them and everything, to have them. Anyway, so long story short, then I had to have a total hip replacement. And what happened is I had student taught at Columbine High School. And I don't know how much you guys remember, that was one of the big shootings here in the United States, the first big one. And so I had student taught there. 17 years later, I was a school counselor back in the district. And on the day of the shooting, they put out a call for all school counselors, if we could get out of our schools, to come over and help out. And so that's where, as we were doing that, I became one of the most involved counselors since I had student taught there and I knew a lot of the people, I knew the school. And so they asked if I would help extra. And so my principal allowed me to get out of school and do that longer. And so that's where, as I would do that, I just really was drawn to the kids and really wanted to help them. 2 years after the Columbine experience tragedy at my own school, we had 4 suicides in 8 months. And it's like, oh my gosh. And what I found in counseling all those Columbine kids and the kids at my school who know those, they were all males who shot up the school or took their lives. They had all said something to their friends, but their friends didn't say anything because they didn't want them to get mad at them. And I thought, we've got to empower the kids in how to reach out to their hurting peers. And so I started a school club called the Bionic Team, which I'll go into more. But that's kind of my journey from all that stuff growing up and to where I am now. And I really believe that Bionic is my true calling. And we're making a difference worldwide in elementary schools through colleges. So from the little ones to all the way to college. So, woo, that's a lot. I don't know if you wanted that long of a journey. So
it's beautiful. Isn't it amazing how life, if we are open to it, brings us to our mission and our purpose? And I can see the passion that you have in this, and that how your soul just lights up. This is how Melissa and I are with this work that we do, is that it lights us up because we know we are, like you said, making that difference.
Yes.
There's such a shift and a transformation that happens with the work that we do. And I can see that you are very, very good at it. So you kind of already alluded to it, Sandy. Your own hero's journey and what now has led you to where you are now with the Bionic Team. How are you impacting, you're amplifying your impact now in the world based on where you just came from?
You bet. So what we found is all the guys that had shot up the school or took their lives, they'd either been new, sick, bullied, hospitalized, or lost loved ones. And so what happened is if we didn't reach out to them specifically during that time, so many kids, they lose a loved one and they're sitting in their classrooms and, you know, maybe the teachers or the people aren't really paying much attention. Sometimes they don't hear about it. And so they're just sitting there and the teacher's teaching and everything and all the material is going over their heads and they're not getting it. And so that's where I thought, we've got to do something to acknowledge those tough things that happen in these kids' lives, to say, you are seen, you matter, and you're not alone. And so I thought, okay, how can we empower the kids? So I thought, 4 kids that are new. A very big key to this is they've got to connect with kids immediately at the school, because with at my school at Green Mountain, where one of the kids took his life, he was new and he didn't connect. And he had gotten in trouble at this previous school into some drugs and that type of thing. He was a basketball player. He didn't tell us that he wanted to go into basketball. His counselor didn't ask him enough questions or whatever. And so what happened is he still had some of that drug clothing when he came to our school. So, of course, the drug kids, they're glomming onto him. They're saying, hey, buddy, come, you know, come into our group. And so he got involved with them and started spiraling down again. And that's where he thought, I can't get out of it. And that's where he gave up. And that's where he took his life. And so I thought, if we can, for the kids that come to our school, our bionic kids, what they do is they find out, what are some interests that those guys have? What are they interested in? Are they interested in sports or music or theater or anime, or, you know, what kind of things are they interested in? And so our kids, our bionic kids, can connect them right away. And our bionic kids, we tell them, you don't have to become best friends with these kids, but just connect to them and say, hey, you want to eat lunch with me and my friends or whatever. So some different things like that. When kids that are out sick, one of the toughest things is that they're missing all the homework. They're missing all the work in school, but they're sick. And so it just piles on them. And that's what happened to one of our kids. It just got too overwhelming and he took his life. And so I thought, okay, so what we do is we do get well packets for kids that are out sick. It's a personalized card. It's an inspirational saying. It's homework helps. It's tutoring information and all this stuff, some fun things for the kids to know. Hey, we see you and you are not forgotten. And so that was very important. Kids that are hospitalized, what we found out is we started visiting kids that were in the hospital. And we just said, hey, just want to let you know we're thinking about you. And we would bring a mug and Hershey's Kisses or a mug and balloon if there's a dietary restriction. So we'd bring that. And so we went to see one girl one day, and the mom, after we saw her and everything, and we talked to the kids about how to talk to the kids about, you know, how they're feeling and everything. And so what happened is then the kids, when we were finished, the mom followed us out in the hallway and she said, you guys, thank you. You're the first ones from school that either called or stopped by to visit her. And you don't even know my daughter. She said, thank you for coming and showing, letting her know that she's not forgotten. And so she said, I was really worried about starting yesterday. She just really is really forgetting, feeling forgotten. And she was kind of losing her hope. And she said, I just saw her brighten up today with you guys being there. So I think she's going to be okay. And then for kids that lose loved ones, so often they go and, like I mentioned before, they're sitting in those classrooms and they've lost their mom or they've lost their sibling or they've lost their dog, different things. And they're trying to figure out how to do life. And so what we do is, and we have two different situations. The first school that I did bionic, and I did bionic in two different schools where I was counselor. The first school was a small bedroom community. Everyone lived close. And so we went to the hospital. We went to deliver pies to the families of the kids who lost loved ones. And we said, hey, we're bringing this pie so you can come together as a family and be able to share special memories of that person and that type of thing. And so anyway, so that's what we do with that. Now, for kids that live further away, what we do for the hospital, what we do is we tell the parent, hey, we got a mug and Hershey's Kisses or a mug and balloon here. If you want to stop by here to get it. There were some kids that came to our school that lived an hour away, but they wanted to come to our school because we were really good in football or gymnastics or whatever. So anyway, so that's what we did with that. And the kids that had lost loved ones, we told the parent, we've got this pie. If you want to come and get it, if they were too far for us to deliver it, then we would say you can come and get it, or we'll give it to you once your student comes back to school. So that was that. Bullying, we all know it's such a difficult situation. So we came up with something very simple and very easy that the kids would remember, the parents would remember, the staff would remember. Prevent bullying by just saying hi. We tell the kids, hey, you guys, if you hear about bullying, if you see bullying, report it to an adult as quickly as possible. When the suicides happened at my school, at Green Mountain High School, what happened is two of our peer counselors became suicidal because it was so difficult. And so we've said, okay, we're not going to have kids talking to their friends, you know, as far as reporting it to someone at school, to another student. But we say, report it to an adult because the adults know what to do for the bully and the bullied student. But so that's H, get help. I is the most important thing that we tell the kids. We say, initiate contact with that bullied student, hopefully sometime that day. So if kids see bullying or hear about bullying, we tell them, we send message out to the bionic kids saying, hey, you guys, Jason Tafoya was bullied today, a second period or at 8 o'clock, initiate contact. So what they do is if they see him in the hall, if they know him, if he's in their class, they say, hey, Jason, how are you doing? Don't have to become best friends, but they see him walking in the hall. Hey, Jason, if they see there's an assignment or something, we tell the kids, come up with a reason to talk to him. Hey, Jason, did you get that homework assignment? I'm not understanding. Can you help me? But anyway, so what happens is in a day when someone's been bullied or something, or the next day, like maybe six kids are contacting Jason. They're saying something to him. Bullying usually happens in isolation. So if the bully is going, oh my gosh, all these kids are talking to Jason, I can't get away with it anymore. And so that's what that is. So, and then we do other things. We do posters for other schools that experience tragedy. We'd have something. Next Friday is 1010 I Care Day. What we decided is a few years ago with our bionic teams across the world, our kids said, Miss Austin, wouldn't it be fun to see how much difference we can make in one day through all of our bionic teams across the world? So we came up with 1010 I Care Day on October 10th. So what we do is we tell the kids, okay, you guys, reach out to 10 people on 1010 I Care Day, one person each hour for 10 hours to see how much of a difference we can make that day. So we tell the kids, okay, you guys, at 7 o'clock in the morning, when you wake up, call your grandma, tell her you love her. Before you leave for school, put a Hershey's Kiss on the pillow of every person in your family. So when they go to bed that night, they know you were thinking about them. Then when you get to school, bring a flower for the secretary. And we tell the kids to do thank you notes for their teachers throughout the day, for the secretaries, for the nurse, different people like that. We tell the staff to do something for the kids. And so every hour they're doing something for people. At the end of the day, what our bionic teams always did is we would go to the police department and fire department and deliver a platter of cookies or vegetables and say, hey, we just want to say thank you. Then we tell the kids, okay, you guys, you have 3 more hours in the day. So when you go home, do things for your family or do things for your neighbors or other people. And so, or go to the post office and do something for the people there. And so what we did is then the kids started getting their parents to do things too. And so they'd say, Mom, Dad, why don't you do things at your work? They talk to their siblings about doing things at their schools. What's amazing, my very last year that we did 1010 I Care Day, that I was in the schools doing as a school counselor before I started as a nonprofit, my school did 24,000 outreaches in one day. 24,000 outreaches. Again, it wasn't just our kids, but it was their parents, other people. We had restaurants that gave a 10% discount for anyone that came in on October 10th. Also, some restaurants said, okay, we're not going to give you a discount, but for 10 out of everything we sell that day, we're going to give 10% to the bionic team at our local school to help fund their outreaches. So you guys, you get me going. And
what a beautiful ripple effect that you did in that.
Yeah, it is.
Now, Sandy, I just want some clarification because you mentioned some letters. What were the letters for? Because I missed the whatever stance.
You bet. So that was with our hospitalization delivery. What? No. That's for the kids that are sick. Kids that are sick.
Talking about the HI letters, I believe, is what Billy's talking about.
Oh, HI. So okay, yes. H is I is initiate contact. So those are the letters. So it's easy for kids. Whenever they see bullying, okay, hi. And not just saying hi. Of course, we want them to do that. But H is get help. And then I is initiate contact. Good job. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what that's all about.
I just wanted a clarification on that. And now these bionic kids that you have, are they just kids from the school that you put this out for them and say, who wants to be a part of this team? And they're just volunteers and say, yes, we want to do that?
Exactly. So what happens? Yes. So what we do, so a lot of schools are starting bionic teams right now for the year. So they put an announcement out and say, do you want to make our school a more caring place? Do you want to make a difference in people's lives? Come to this meeting. And what's so precious, you guys, is it's not just the kids with the best grades. It's not the best athletes or the typical leaders in the school. These are kids that are even quiet and shy. Oh, my very first leaders that I had, it was interesting. This is when I was peer counseling co-sponsor before, and two kids had applied to be peer counselors, but they were really shy. The other guy that was the peer counseling co-sponsor, he didn't want to pick them because he said they're too shy. I said, there are shy kids at school that need kids to talk to. So anyway, so what happened is I recruited those two kids to be two of my main leaders when I was starting Bionic. So Carissa was the first one. Again, she was so shy. So at our very first Bionic meeting, this was the agenda. And so she, again, she was so shy. So she would say, okay, you guys, what we're doing, this is the agenda, and this is what Bionic is. And then she'd kind of peek over. Okay, and then this is
Just so that they understand, if they're only listening, that you're putting the paper up and covering your face.
Yeah. And then what was incredible, you guys, in 4 months. So this was, we started Bionic, very first Bionic team, in December of that year. By May, by the time these kids were graduating, Carissa was going, okay, Jason, now you said you're going to do this, right? You're doing, okay, good job. All right, Melissa, you're doing, okay, you're going to do that? You said you're going to take care, okay, good. I mean, they got the confidence.
Our
Bionic kids, they get the confidence to reach out. I can tell you one story. Is it okay if I tell you a story?
Yes, please. Love stories.
Okay. All right. So what happened is we do presentations at state and national conferences, and I bring kids along when I can. And so at one of those conferences, I had some kids presenting with me. And after we were done, someone said, okay, to the kids, okay, tell us, what kind of leadership skills do you get? Have you learned? And so a guy said, okay, well, let me tell you. Last week, and these are stories I already told you, he said, last week we had a new student lunch, and one kid came and his parents were getting a divorce, and they moved to our place because they had to get away from the other parent, that there were just problems, domestic violence. And so the student said, and so this student really hated moving. And he said, I hate this. I don't want to be here. And so he found out what he wanted to be involved in and just was listening and stuff. And he found out this kid wanted to be in anime. And so what he did is he knew a couple kids at school that were in the anime club at school. And so he connected them right away, and he saw them eating lunch together, and he got involved in the school and everything. So right away, he connected that kid. Then he said, then the next day we made a hospitalization delivery. And that was that situation where that mom said, you guys are the first people that talked to my student. And he said, you know, that really meant a lot, knowing that we made that much of a difference in that girl's life. He said, it's so sad that no one else reached out to her. But he said, that gave me the confidence that I know what to say to someone that's sick. And then he said, then 2 nights later, we went and did the pie deliveries. And he said, so now I know what to say to someone that's lost a loved one. I know what to say. I don't, you know, before it's like when I heard someone had someone die in their family or friends, I wouldn't talk to them. I'd go to the other side of the hall because I didn't walk next to him because I didn't know what to say. He said, now I have all the confidence, you know. And you know what's amazing, you guys, is our Bionic kids, whether they're elementary or high school, what they do is when they hear about tragedy, since they've learned how to talk to people about tough things, they step toward it instead of avoiding it or stepping away. They go toward it because they know that kid or that person is hurting, and so they reach out to them. One other thing that happens, and this is, the kids are just incredible. They keep coming up with other ideas of how to reach out. Shortly after we started the Bionic team, we heard that there was a car accident at a neighboring school, and one of the students died. And so one of our girls came and said, Miss Austin, can we do something for that school? And then, so what we did is we started doing these posters. When there's a death of a student or a staff member at another school, we do a poster. Sometimes they've been 30 feet long. Even we did one for a tsunami in Japan, a devastation probably about 15 years ago. And this was fun. We were doing this, and there was a girl from Japan that was an exchange student, foreign exchange student at our school. So I asked her, I said, okay, we want to put children of Japan in Tokyo. It was into children of Tokyo. Our hearts and thoughts are with you. And then Green Mountain High School in Lakewood, Colorado is thinking of you during this time. And so I asked her, how do I write all that on this poster in Japanese? And so she told me and everything. So we did it. And then she said, Miss Austin, I said, I wish there was something else we could do. And she said, you know, Miss Austin, the paper peace cranes anime are very special in the Japanese culture. And she said, 1,000 peace cranes is such a powerful message. And I thought, okay, will you teach us how to do it? And let's go for it. So the next night it was parent teacher conferences. And so she sat up, she sat at a table in the cafeteria, and we told everyone, hey, you guys come and help us make 1,000 peace cranes for the schools in Japan. And we did it. And it was just incredible. But these kids just keep coming with more and more ideas. And that's what is amazing. The oldest kids I personally worked with in Bionic are now 40 years old. And what they're doing is they're going and they're teaching their own children, or they're saying, Miss Austin, my business needs a bionic team because we have employees who are new, who are sick, who are hospitalized, who lose loved ones. And they're spiraling down with COVID. I mean, we just saw the great resignation, as they were calling it. Yes. And they said, and it was amazing. And so these kids keep doing it. There's one kid that he works for, I don't know if you guys know, PricewaterhouseCoopers, a very high power group. He is moving up faster in PricewaterhouseCoopers than anyone has ever moved up, because these kids, they know how to reach out. They know how to bring a teamwork into a group and everything. So anyway, you get me going. As I said, you guys, I can't stop. So
I love all of that, Sandy. So many things that you've said. First of all, I was raised in Japan, and so I'm fully aware of the 1,000 cranes. And we did that at our school ourselves when we had six teachers, and it was an international school, although many nuns, a Catholic school. So we had nuns in hospital. So I've spent many an hour folding beautiful paper cranes, etc., and taught my own kids how to do that. And
bless you, Melissa.
I love the ripple effect of what you're creating, as Billy said before, and just the empowerment of these kids and recognizing them as brilliant human beings, and that we don't have to be speaking down to them and we don't have to tell them what to do. They tell us how to do it and what works for their peers. And I love that you're listening, and again, your passion, your excitement for this. And I know we could talk for hours, and I would love to keep talking for hours because you're just filling my heart with all of this. And I'm also one. I lost my dad when I was 13.
And I
was in Japan. And as you're sharing your stories, I'm thinking how grateful I am for the experience that I had then, where the teaching staff, you know, just reached out and said, you do whatever makes you feel good today, right? If you want to go to the gym, because I was an athlete as well, go to the gym. You don't have to go to your regular classes. Just go and be with whoever you need to be with. And then they told the rest of the school, if Melissa needs to be with you, you can be out of class too, right? Like, there's no rules here today. Just do what you need to do.
Wow.
I always looked back on the way they allowed that for me just to get through those first few days.
Yes.
It was so powerful. And this day I'm friends with teachers from that school, and I've gone and visited them. And it's been so fascinating in recent years to hear them relay the story of those days from the teacher perspective. And it came from the principal down, where the principal truly said, you support her, she can do whatever she wants, she can be wherever she is, you check in on her, exactly what you're doing with the bionic group.
Wow.
And I stand here today as a happy, healthy, you know, human being without mental anguish.
Yes.
That experience was handled so well. So I love, love, love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. Can I tell you one story of a kindergartner? What happened is we had a middle school and an elementary school that both had bionic teams. And so the middle schoolers went down and taught the elementary schools how to do bionic. And so I went there one day and I saw they were teaching the kindergartners what to say to new students at their school. And so here's this little Maria as a kindergartner. So she's practicing. She says, hi, I'm Maria. What's your name? What school did you come from? And then she said, so what do you like to do? Do you like athletics or art or music or whatever? She was doing that, practicing. She's going to be doing that for the next eight years, going through those two schools. That's why our kids are so powerful. And so that's why they go toward tragedy, because they're not scared of it. They know what to say.
It's right.
So amazing. These kids for 8 years, they know how to do it. They just move easily. And it's just incredible. Yeah.
I love it. And Billy's got elementary school children. And I'm sitting here going, wow, let's bring this into Canada. Let's start with the school. Billy's kid's school. I've got, my kids went through high school. They're all of their schooling in Whistler. I'm still connected to teachers. I would love to learn more about this and have your package and take it to our schools as well, because this is such powerful work that, as you said, makes a difference forever. You've got
40-year-olds that are highly successful in their careers because they had this, training, coaching, learned these life skills, which is what they are, when young.
Oh, so, one of those 35-year-olds. She was 35 then. Now she's 40. But she called me during COVID, and she said, "Miss Austin, you know what I learned from Bionic?" She said, "With COVID, everything shutting down, I noticed the food insecurity in my community. So I went to my church and said, we need a food bank." She said, "I will lead it, but you guys need to help me to bring together the food and everything." So she did it. We didn't teach her how to do a food bank, but we told the kids, okay, when you how to look for the needs and then how to find people to help you
with
the resources. Yeah.
Yeah, love that. And so I want to ask you, as you share all of these wonderful stories, what was one moment or breakthrough where you had that aha as you look back on your journey with gratitude for having gone through it, despite having gone through difficult times? Is there one moment where it shifted for you?
Yes. In fact, I'll tell you the story. So after with our four suicides at my school, there was one girl that knew all the kids. So a story I say is that at the beginning of that school year, at one table in our class, there were three students. Just 3 months later, only one student was left at that table. Two of the guys took their lives. And the kids started asking her, "When are you going to kill yourself?" And it's like, oh my gosh, I knew we had to change that. So what happened is after the forced suicide, and she knew this kid too, she came running. Her name was Brandy. She came running into my office and she said, "Miss Austin, you got to help me." I said, "What's going on, Brandy?" She said, "Miss Austin, last night after hearing about John's death," she said, "I was driving home and I was at a stoplight." And she said, "I thought, you know, if I see a semi truck coming through the intersection, I'm going to pull out in front of them and I'll be gone and the pain will be over." And she said, "Miss Austin, no semi truck came." She said, "You got to help me because I can't handle this." And so I started, she was a freshman in high school, 15-year-old. And so we started meeting and started talking, and I kept in touch with her throughout her high school years, the next 4 years. And I've kept in touch with her through the years. And she is 40 years old now. And what has happened, she has prevented so many suicides and has reached out to her own kids, peers, and her own friends and family members and community members that are thinking about suicide and that type of thing. And so it's just incredible. But she is working out and she is out there making a difference. And so that, I don't know if that's kind of the story you're looking at, but Brandy Dumas, she is the reason I keep doing what I'm doing. And it's like, if we can empower these kids, it's interesting. About a month ago, I was talking to some of our kids about 1010 Eye Care Day at one of the schools. And they said, "Miss Austin, the world is struggling so much right now." She said, "Do you think we can rally the adults to help us? Because so that it's not just us kids, but can you rally the adults?" I said, "Let's see what we can do. Let's get them going for 1010 Eye Care Day too." And so the kids said, "Miss Austin, do you think they will support us?" And so I'm talking to everyone saying, 1010 Eye Care Day, let's do it. So that's, I'm excited to see what we can do on 1010 Eye Care Day next Friday.
I love that so much. And yeah, I mean, especially down in the States, there is a lot of discord and division and chaos. And
yes.
And when I've been studying astrology, and there's a lot of discord before this big shift. So there's a big paradigm shift happening.
Wow.
And I love that what you're saying. As you said, like, now you're talking to a couple of Canadians and we're like, we should create bionic teams here. And this is how this expands and amplifies, right? That's why we called our academy Amplify Impact Academy. My final question to you, Sandy, is, what does amplify your impact mean to you, and how do you embody that every day?
Yeah. What's interesting is when I was little, when I was shy, I just hid, and I just wasn't. And through the years, you know, I just didn't think I could do anything. I didn't think I had any gifts or anything. And what I learned through the years is that each of us is a gift to this world. Each of us is a gift. And my goal through all my years and working with the kids and adults is that, who are you? What is the gift that you have to offer? And that can be through the pain, through the tough things, through the great things, everything like that. The world needs us. There are so many people oh, Billy, there are so many people that you can reach that I can't reach. There are so many people, Melissa, that you can reach that I cannot reach. They go, well, Sandy, I have no idea what you're talking about and everything. But that's the thing, is the world needs us. We can amplify our impact. So the first thing is we need to check out what's going on in our lives. Where are we holding back? What's going on? And a lot of times it's those tough things in life where someone said something, or for adults, it could be a divorce. It could be abuse. It could be different things. It could be like those kids when I was wanted to be a PE teacher. It could be those kids who were picked last on those teams. It's like, we've got to reach out to people and just really be looking. When I would walk through school, and this was before this, when I was in high school, I always wanted to say hi to people in the halls and just say hi. And so I didn't have to be best friends with them, but just even now, when I'm checking out at a store or something, how are you doing? And you know, in one of my favorite coffee places,
right?
Yes.
Connection. Yes.
Exactly. With my favorite coffee place, when I go there, I say, thanks for making us all smile. You guys make us smile every day. And that puts a big smile on their faces. And I just say, thank you for what you do for all of us every day. So I don't know if that answers your question, Billy.
It does. Yeah. Sandy, I mean, you're speaking our language, right? Like everybody, we always say you've got to start with self. You got to heal yourself first. And all the trials and all the tribulations and everything that we go through is there for a reason. It is there to teach us a lesson. It is there to teach us who we are. And as soon as we can get back to who we are before all this stuff, the school, society, media, family, church, all these things told you, limited you, once you break through that, then you can step into your gifts. And I totally agree, everybody has a gift. I mean, I've been a police officer for 20 years. I had no idea I would ever be teaching people about the unconscious mind and how to heal trauma without talking about it.
Wow. Yeah.
Because now it went from dealing with people's trauma, now I could heal it, and I had no idea this is where life would lead me.
Wow.
I got here because I dealt with my own stuff first.
Yes.
Well, I love that.
And we would love to share timeline therapy with you so you can have that out in the world, so that kids can know that we don't have to go to therapy for 30 years for the rest of my life to talk about my trauma. We can heal it without talking about it, because all the unconscious mind needs is to upload the learnings. What did you need to learn? And the learnings can be as simple as, I am safe. I am protected. I am worthy. I am powerful. And that's what the beauty of this is. And there's a real big shift happening on the planet. And I know, you know, nothing happens, everything happens for a reason, that you got connected to us. And now you're hearing this story on our podcast and in our book. So and we want to say thank you. We love the passion. You're so amazing in what you are doing. And I hope we see bionic teams up here in Canada sooner than later, because I love that idea.
I will help you. You betcha. Whatever we need to do it, you guys. Yeah, my website is bionicteam.org. And if people want basic information for 1010 Eye Care Day, just some of our ideas that we have, they can go to giftfromsandy.com. It's free. Just a one-page sheet with 12 ideas on it. Giftfromsandy.com. They can go there and start making their list of the 10 things you're going to do next Friday on 1010 Eye Care Day.
Ironically, Amplify Impact Academy was born on 1010 last year.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that wild? We had no idea it was Eye Care Day. And yeah, love the synchronicity of that, because, of course, everything happens for a reason.
You go. That's right.
So that's beautiful. So if people want to get, you mentioned a kit for starting Bionic Team. So people can find that at bionicteam.org. Is that correct?
Yes, they can.
Listening to this and they're like, I want to bring this into my child's school. I mean, if you're listening to this and you have children, I'm sure you want to bring this into your school. And so please go to that website, bionicteam.org. And I just want to say, I love the name Bionic. Believe it or not, I care. So simple and yet so profound. So many people are walking through life thinking that nobody cares, and yet that's the story in their head, and it isn't true. And so having kids reaching out allows them to start to change that story instead of having it reinforced because they feel ignored and they feel unseen. So powerful, beautiful name. And
thank you.
Thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you for sharing this with such passion. And yes, you have two more people to help you spread the word here. We would love to bring this into schools in Canada. And for the audience, please reach out. Go to Sandy's website, bionicteam.org, and bring it into your school too. Because together, we can all have a profound impact and create that ripple effect. So thank you so much for sharing your story and the work that you do in the world.
Thank you so much, Melissa and Billy. Appreciate you guys. Oh, I love the hearts. You go. Yeah, girls. Bless you guys for the incredible things you're doing. So, yes, what a privilege to meet you guys, and bless you for what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Clear the Screen Show. If you love what you heard, take a screenshot, post it on social media, and tag us, because we would love to celebrate you.
And if you want to go deeper, scan the QR code, check out our Light Circle membership. This is a community where it's going to serve you and uplift you and empower you, because when you end your anxiety, that's where your abundance begins. And when you can amplify you, then you can impact others.